The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
I made a declaration a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to make it again today. The bridegroom is about to visit the bride. He is coming down. In years past, there had been a shout in my spirit, and the spirit was, we're going up. But the shout shifted, and I even know the day. It was October 30th, Tuesday, I think, early in the morning. And a new shout rose up in my spirit, and it wasn't we're going up, had nothing to do with what we were going to do, had everything with what he was going to do. And the shout that rose up in my spirit is, he's coming down. I've got a confidence of God's desire to move in a room like this from the front to the back and from the left to the right without anybody coming to an altar, because he wants to prove himself as the lover of your soul and of mine. He is going to visit the bridegroom or the bride, and he's going to do it sovereignly. And I said a few weeks ago, and I'll say again, there are many people who don't feel they're qualified to have a visit from the bridegroom. It does not matter. He will extend a bridge of mercy from where he is to where you are and where your loved ones are. And he's coming anyway, but he's going to visit. I've never been felt so inadequate in being able to declare what I see and what I feel in the spirit in this day. But I've also never felt had so much confidence in God's ability to perform it and intention to perform it. He's going to visit the bride, and there's a very good reason for that, and that's what we're talking about today. You and I were fashioned to be loved by God. And to receive his love, and to return his love, and to have an exchange with him. If you were not here on November 4th, I encourage you to listen to the message. We talked about intimacy with God. If you were not here on December 2nd, I encourage you to get the message. And you can get it online at livingwatersmn.org. On December 2nd, we talked about intimacy with the bridegroom. God is serious about you, and he's serious about me, because we were created for his pleasure. And the question could be, well, why do we talk about the love of the bridegroom? What about the love of the Father? Simply this: it pleased God that in Jesus all fullness should dwell. Jesus always is at the forefront of a move of God. Any move of God is always got at the forefront a new love for Jesus and a new awareness of his love for us. It's biological, really. You do understand. It's the intimacy between the bridegroom and the bride that create the children. It's the intimacy between the bride and the bridegroom that bring forth the fruitfulness of an increase in the temple and the places for God to dwell as the Holy Spirit. No man comes to the Father but through the Son. Jesus always leads the way. It's God's way, and it's God's delight. Colossians, it is God's desire that Jesus Christ would have the preeminence. That means first. It pleased God that in him all fullness should dwell. He is the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. Who? Jesus. Why? Because the interaction between Jesus and the bride produces everything, releases everything. It's not possible to come to the Father except through the Son initially. And I want to suggest, if you want to go into a new level of understanding the Father's love, begin with Jesus. Get a revelation of his love for the bridegroom, or for the bride. and you will come into a deeper revelation of the Father's love. Please don't feel I am dismissing the fact that the Father's love is not important. It is very important. I could take you to geographical locations where I've had encounters with the Father's love that racked my life. And I suspect I'm due for another one. But I tell you what, it's beginning with a love affair with the bridegroom. Amen. And that'll produce some fruit. See, Jesus delights in introducing us to the Father. But we come through the door of Jesus. Initially, yes, but every chapter of our life, every new fresh thing that God does, Jesus is at the forefront of it. Well, what about the Holy Spirit? Well, what about Him? One of His primary purposes is to point to Jesus. Jesus said concerning the Comforter who would come, He will take the things that belong to Me and make them known to you. Both the Father and the Son are constantly pointing to Jesus, and Jesus is constantly pointing to the Father and the Holy Spirit. And the Trinity that you and I serve is a Trinity of where they just try to out-honor one another. And they're constantly lifting and exalting one another. Should teach us something about leadership in the kingdom. But this relationship with the bridegroom is so important. We want to grow in our love for God and people. Get a revelation of God's love for you through as expressed through the bridegroom. One of the prophetic, one of our primary prophetic voice in this house, Alan Ross from Scotland, declared the last time he was here, and I think he's used the phrase before, but he made a declaration, there is a silent revival going on. And I want you to know that's true. And the reason that it's silent and hidden is because we are so used to the big splash. It's sad that in this day a man cannot ask, a young man cannot ask a girlfriend to marry him without a big splash. We are so addicted to sound and video and lights and fireworks and whatever that it's just part of the culture. You can't even announce whether you're having a boy or a girl if you're pregnant without some, gotta be a big splash, gotta get it on film. You got, and it's like part of me wants to say, wait a minute, some of this stuff is really precious and really intimate. What are you doing? And so it is with God. There are things in God that are precious and very intimate. And God is not always about the big splash. We just celebrated the birth of our Lord and Savior. That was not a big splash. He takes the simple things to confound the wise. And He takes the weak things to confound that which is mighty. And He takes the things that are not to confound the things that are. And the base things. And so often we want there can't be revival going on because. Well, I'll tell you what, there is revival going on, and it's going on in the marketplace, and it's going on in schools, and it's going on in neighborhoods, and it's going on in homes, and it's being carried out by people like you and I. And because it's not about a meeting, you know why the coming revival is not about a meeting? Because the bride is going to be too busy to go to a meeting because she's about her Father's business.
That's right.
And she's laboring with the bridegroom. And she ain't got time to go to a meeting because she is one.
That's right.
Come on. Good.
I'm just saying. There is a silent revival that is going on, and it is the whomsoever, Pastor Dave says it well, the whomsoever is doing whatsoever, wheresoever. And because it's not a big splash, and because it's so widespread, and because it's taken place in the privacy of homes and businesses, and because it doesn't have to be on film, and because it's nobody's business, we just assume there's nothing going on. Kids, let me tell you, you are in for to see one of the most awesome moves of God that this planet has ever seen. I'm just saying. You go home and you write down on the calendar that I said that on this day, and you just watch. And you're going to be a part of it. Yep. And it ain't going to be about superheroes doing some awesome stuff. And if revivals of the past, you can name the names, and that's wonderful, and that was good for that season. But I tell you what, this revival that is already moving has a husband and wife team moving in power. It's the bridegroom and the bride. And they're moving across the earth. And they are shaking things up.
Come on.
The title of my message this morning is, There Goes the Bride. She is on the scene. And she's riding with her Savior. And she's getting things done. She's every bit as much of a warrior as he is. There are some who say that if you were to slightly lift the gown of the bride, you would see she's wearing army boots. I personally don't believe that. I believe she's wearing the cutest pair of patent leather pumps with a pointed toe and about a 1-inch heel, and she knows how to use them. That's what I think. And I think if you listen really close, you will hear a crunching sound. And it's the sound of the God of peace crushing Satan under her feet. And she is going through the land and she is accomplishing things along with the bridegroom. It says in the book of Acts, the apostles did some things, and then it adds, and Jesus was stretching out his hand to heal. I tell you, you folks, show me the bride and the bridegroom is there.
That's right.
She goes in his authority, she goes in his name, she goes in his power, and she goes in his glory. She's there. And he's there. And it's fine to talk about the bride if we're talking collectively, but I'm not talking to you collectively this morning. I'm talking to you as an individual. I'm talking to you and you and you and you. And somewhere along the line, we got to quit seeing ourselves as corporately just the bride and recognize that I, standing all alone, am the bride of Christ. And his authority rests upon me. His glory rests upon me. I go in his name, not mine. His power rests upon me. And I can do extraordinary things. As I grow in my love for God and my love for my neighbor. That's why he wants to visit us, by the way. And that's why he wants to visit you. My November message and my December message about intimacy was the what. This morning I'm telling you why. I am convinced there is no way. In fact, some of you got New Year's resolutions probably in place, or you have had in past years and you just finally gave up on them because you know they did not work. But in past years, and maybe some this year, some have got New Year's resolutions in place. I'm going to draw closer to God this year. I'm going to love God more. Or I'm going to love my neighbor more. Or I'm going to read through the Bible in a year. Or I'm going to do this. Or I'm going to do that. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have tried that and found it didn't work? I believe that the only way to grow in my love for God, or to grow in my love for my neighbor, is to grow in an awareness of his love for me. That's the why. That's why the bridegroom is visiting the bride. That encounter between the bridegroom and the bride in the secret place brings a softness of heart that I know of no other encounter that can do that. That encounter before the bride and the bridegroom in the secret place, that intimate place, brings such a softness, and it reminds me that I have been given a heart of flesh and the heart of stone was taken out. I suspect there's not a person in this room that wouldn't say, yeah, I'm up for loving God more, and I'm up for loving my neighbor more. Well, I want to encourage you. Jesus is up to something that's going to make that happen. He wants to draw near to you and convince you of his love for you. See, we love him because he first loved us. We know that. None of you got saved because you had a really good idea. None of you got saved because you made a decision to choose God. It's like, I found Jesus. Well, actually, he was not lost. I'm just saying. No, you did not choose him. He chose you.
Amen.
And you did not first love him. He first loved you. We talk a lot about returning to our first love, and I want you to know that I believe that does not mean that I should try harder to love God like I did in the beginning. I believe that means that I should return to that place where I first experienced his love for me. And that did something in me that made me love him back. I'm just saying. Well, Pastor Bob, you're pretty passionate about this. You bet I am. Because I know what I see and I know what I hear. He's visiting his bride. One of the reasons that I have a strong conviction that God wants to move in a room like this, and it can be any room, any size people, and to do it sovereignly, is because if we come to the place where we understand that my God will draw near to me without me jumping through a bunch of hoops and without the support of other people, if my God can do that here, he could do that in my home or in my car or in my place of business. And my Jesus could become my personal Savior. Oh, imagine that. And I could expect and trust and have a confidence and an intimacy with him anywhere I want. I can go for a walk, and I can go for a walk with my Jesus. I can go to work, and I can invite him to come with me. We talked about that in the November 4th message. Well-rounded intimacy. Every aspect of my life, an intimate dance with him. The bride and the bridegroom. Some of us have disqualified God from being able to show up in places because of self-imposed religion. Well, we have to. Some of you get visited by God and have some of your best times in the shower. I know that. But that just can't. No. Oh, yes, it can. Some of you have some of your best times while driving in a car, and it's like, no. Yeah, it's okay. Eat it up. just don't drink too deeply. That's all I'm saying. But we need to make this talk of the bride individual, or we will relinquish our responsibility to be her in our sphere. I said we'll relinquish our responsibility to be the bride if we just make it corporate. We can just, go team. Go team. No, go you into all the world and preach the gospel. You go. There goes the bride. Come on. One of the most damning things that hinders individual people from being fruitful for God is a self-imposed perception that you got to be somebody you're not. I realize I just swore a minute ago, and I'm okay with it, and so is God. That word is in the Bible. We need to understand that God fashioned us the way He made us. I have a mission. One of my missions in life is to convince people that they are okay the way they are to serve God. That doesn't mean we don't need to grow and change. That's not my point. My point is we don't need to become somebody else. We don't need to read another book so we do it like so-and-so. Hero worship in the body of Christ is very dangerous unless your hero is Jesus. The Lord spoke to me about 2 weeks ago, because over the years I've pondered and even had words to write a book. And the Lord spoke something to me about 2 weeks ago, and I think I'm just going to run with it. He said, you're not going to write a book, you're just going to become one. I like that. That's way easier. If you've ever seen my writing, you'd understand. What if you and I just purpose to be ourselves? What if Dr. Seuss was right? You are you, that's truer than true. There's no one on the planet that's youer than you. What if that was true?
It is true.
It is true. See, we're always trying to be like somebody else, and what we don't understand is one of them is enough. Come on. I don't know any person I want another one of. I'm just saying. One's enough. Let me figure out that one. Let me understand that one. Come on. Yeah, it's okay to laugh. Exactly. It's okay for us to be us. And if we can get comfortable with who we are, then we can just go about the business of being us and letting our light shine the way we let our light shine, and quit worrying about what so-and-so said and what this book said and what that book said. Even quit worrying, oh, he's going to say it. Quit worrying about what this book says and become a living epistle.
Amen.
Just be you. Let your light shine. Right? You can laugh. It's okay. It's yes, it is, because it's His. He so wants people free to be people and to be the people. See, here's the deal. Who made them? Who made you the way you are?
God did.
Yes, He did. And if He's okay with it, why don't you get okay with it? And why don't you become comfortable in your own skin and just be who He made you to be and let your light shine that way? And this carries over into the secret place, by the way. There are people in this room who have never, ever really began to, really felt like they connected with God and met with God in the secret place. And I'll tell you why. You're expecting to meet God there. There's someone else you need to find in the secret place before you find God, and that is you. You need to discover who you are in your relationship with God and how you relate to Him, how you connect with Him, how you hear His voice, how you feel His presence. But you've never given yourself permission to do that because this book said that, and this book said that, and this preacher said that. I am very careful not to share my secret place life with anybody. Number one, because it's secret. I told you before, it's not the place that's a secret. It's what takes place there. And it's intimate. But another reason is because people want to make a formula. They see something and they say, oh, I want that, so I must do. No, you find yourself in the secret place. You become comfortable with who you are with God. I've said, I can't count the number of times I've said, but it's such a good example. I've married roughly 80, 90 couples, but I've never taught one of them to kiss. Why? Because it's about intimacy, and who's going to coach that? And who's going to say, yeah, do this and don't do that? Oh my goodness, come on! But yet when it comes to intimacy with God, we write books and we blah, 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 blah. How about we just find ourselves in the secret place and understand how I connect with God? How about that? And I just realize, oh my goodness, the books were wrong concerning me. By the way, the sound you hear is just water being turned to wine. Yeah, that's just freedom right there. You go with that, brother. That is freedom. That's the sound of revelation hitting a heart and breaking a heart. That's the sound of a heart being validated. Amen. The way it is, instead of the way somebody says it should be. Some of the most, do I dare say this, Ken? I think I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. Some of the most detrimental preachers to the bride has been those who have tried to explain secret place stuff. Because it's about intimacy, and you cannot legislate that, and you cannot formulate that or put a formula to it. My relationship with my God is my business and my business alone. And it brings into my life an encounter with God is unique to me with Him. See, it is in that place that Jesus becomes my personal Savior. Personal to me. There are not two people in this room who have the same Jesus. Totally. Because of the things you've gone through that many people know about, and the things you've gone through that nobody knows about. Because of the things that you carry in your heart. Because of the wounds that you carry and the things that He's done for you. Jesus has been some things for you all that He's never been for me. And He's been for me some things that He's never had to be for you. And we have a personal Savior. And it is in that secret place that the bridegroom heals the bride. and brings wholeness to her. Oh yeah. And I encourage you to get into the secret place, whatever that means for you, which, by the way, doesn't need to be locked in a closet. Some of you connect best by a walk in the woods. But there must be a rule against that. Okay. If you say so, there isn't in my book, but I'm not writing one. If I look like I'm mad, I'm not. I'm actually quite happy, but I'm passionate. And I'm serious about this. We need to discover who we are in the secret place and become comfortable with it. Because it's in that place that we get so filled with His love that we leak wherever we go. And then when it comes to leaking, we need to be comfortable with leaking the way we leak. Or if we use the analogy of letting our light shine, we need to find in the secret place how I get lit and stay lit. And then I got to come out of the closet. Remember, what is done in the secret place is rewarded openly.
Right.
So when I come out into the open, I need to be free to let my light shine the way I let my light shine. Irregardless of what the book says. Somebody's book. You need to know how awesome you are as the bride. You, standing all alone. You need to know how awesome you are. How much He loves you. And if you don't, get ready, because He's going to come and prove it. I'm just saying. He wants to draw near to you and He wants to draw near to me. He is. We've seen it since the first, or since whatever. Last three, 4 months. We've seen in this room. There's an increasing preciousness of His presence. There just is. And it's not that we changed anything. It's because He's doing it. And He will continue to do it. And it's going to get more intense and more precious and more softening. If you have a... If you are opposed to tears, I recommend you invest in Kleenex. I'm just saying. I don't cry when the Spirit of God moves. Okay. I believe you. There comes a time, see, the Word of God, and Jesus is the Word of God, brings a division between soul and spirit. And it has to, and it should, because that is what will keep this that we're talking about from becoming soulish instead of spiritual. But there comes a time when the moving of the Spirit on our spirit involves our soul. And emotion is provoked, whether in laughter or crying, doesn't matter. There's nothing magic about tears, except they're healing. And they're precious to the Lord when they're driven by the Spirit and by His love. We all want to grow in our love for the bride, or for the bridegroom. We want to grow in our love for God. We want the Father and the Holy Spirit. We all want to grow in our love for our neighbor. But it begins, I'm telling you, with an awareness of his. This is why, of his love for us. This is why, and I understand the Apostle Paul's frustration. This is why more than once he said, oh, that I pray in different ways, but in Ephesians particularly, I pray that you would know the love of God that surpasses knowledge. That is the sound of a man who has come to the awareness that there is something that he is aware of that is available to his readers that he cannot possibly impart to them. Whether he was there in person or he puts it in a letter, he has to put it in the form of the prayer. It has to come by revelation. And it has to come by encounter with God. And it is going to come just that way. He's drawing near to us in new and fresh ways because he cares that much. And I want to say again, one of the biggest mistakes we make is we immediately disqualify ourselves because there's things out of whack in our life. What a shock. Do you think he who loved us while we were yet sinners and drew near to us has trouble drawing near to us now? When we've made some strides and grown some and maybe don't have everything in order as we would like and as he would like. He has no problem with your shortcomings. Don't disqualify yourself from God being able to draw near to you because of this or that, because of a self-imposed religion, rules and regulations. It's not that things, I'm not saying things don't need to change. I'm saying the very thing that'll change them is his drawing near. Am I the only one that gets really serious about brushing my teeth just before my dentist appointment? Just thought I'd ask. That's silly, isn't it? It's not like you're going to fool anyone. And so it is with God. We tend to want to, yeah, well, as soon as I get this fixed or that fixed, I'll... No, 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 no. You're going to the fixer-upper.
Amen.
Don't try to fix up before you get to the fixer-upper. Just get there. Ladies, please tell me. You don't do your hair all up before you go to the hairdresser.
I don't.
Please tell me you don't manicure your nails or pedicure your nails before you go get a pedicure. No, of course. It's silly. And yet when it comes to our Jesus, we feel like we need to get right in order to go get right. David was a man after God's own heart because he was real with God and wasn't afraid to admit where he was at. And that doesn't mean that that sin is not significant. It is. And it needs to be processed and it needs to be dealt with. All I'm saying is recognize that the very one that can set you free from things is the one that is wanting to draw near. Don't stop him. Don't hinder him. If you've got to process some things with him with your voice, process some things. Confess some things. But recognize that his mercy is rich toward you and toward me. Figure out how you get lit and stay lit. Give yourself permission to be you in the secret place. One of the biggest mistakes I think people make is they don't consider the time of day that they meet with God. They just assume we're all the same. We're not all the same. Some of you are night people. Why on earth? And you're not morning people. Why on earth would you try to become a morning person? Be a night person. The truth is, the day starts in the night and goes on into the day. If you look at Genesis, when you go to bed at night, you're not sleeping from the day that was, you're sleeping for the day that's coming. I don't know if you knew that. That changes your life right there. I had a hard day. I got to get a good night's sleep. No, you got a hard day coming. Get a good night's sleep. First was the night and then the day. Just saying. But discover. Just give yourself permission. Mix it up. Give yourself permission. How do you connect with God? Where do you connect with God? When do you connect with God? How do you get lit and stay lit? Another reason that we need to meet with God in the secret place, beyond being overwhelmed with the love that then causes us to go out and give it away. Scripture says, be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within you. Be ready to give a reason for the joy that's within you. Be ready to give a reason. Why are you so peaceful? I was working on a job site once, and it was early in the first thing in the morning, and one guy says to me, what are you on anyway? So I told him. Primary reason we meet with him in the secret place is to be changed and to be overwhelmed with his love for us, so that we've got some love to give away. But another reason is that we get understanding and perspective. To make a statement like, I'm going to let my light shine more intentionally in 2019, is a really nice statement. Until I realize that if I take every opportunity that comes my way to let my light shine, or if I purpose to meet every need that comes my way, if I purpose to meet every need of every neighbor I've got, which is more than just neighbor, it's people close to you, it's family, it's all of it. If I purpose to meet every need, I will burn myself out. There's a principle in the Old Covenant. Well, it actually carries over into the new. It's just referred. And that is that obedience is greater than sacrifice. We can step into a lifestyle of sacrificial living that will cause us to burn out. And it is far better to get into the secret place and to get my orders from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What should I say yes to and what should I say no to? And then I am being moved by obedience rather than by sacrifice. You can sacrifice yourself and wear yourself out. There is one who did make a sacrifice that's sufficient for you and him. And his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. But it comes out of an awareness of doing what he told me to do, but there are things that I believe there's times when he says to us, what are you doing here? I mean, how'd you get here? How'd you get involved in this person's life or that person's life? We need to know what he is directing and leading us to do and be obedient to that. And there are times when I step into something and I'm stepping into it out of obedience, but with time it becomes a sacrifice and the grace begins to lift. How many of you know what it's like to be doing something you've done for a while and all of a sudden the grace is lifting and it's like, oh no, well, I guess I just sacrifice. Nah, check in with headquarters. Just saying. One of the most precious things about the bride of Christ is we are individual, but we're also collective. And I have found that sometimes if I will step away from something in obedience to God, to what, and it may be something that I once stepped into, now it's time to step away. And when I step away, someone else steps in. Far better at it than me. In fact, Pastor Dave and I were having lunch this past week and we were just reminiscing about the last 11 years. And I was honest with him. I said, Dave, it was not hard to pass the baton to you, the senior pastor baton to you. I had lost grace. I'd started in obedience 15 years earlier. But now it was becoming a sacrifice. Why? Because God had something else for me to do. People say, well, how could you just walk away from salary, walk away from position, build a church, and just turn it over? It was really, really easy. I'm just saying. It was so easy. Why? Because I don't want to live life from a posture of sacrifice. I want to live life from a posture of obedience. We're way more fruitful when we're doing what we were called to do out of obedience rather than sacrifice. And so that intimacy with the bridegroom allows me to connect with him on a regular basis and just know that I'm still in step with him and that he's in step with me. Don't try to fill every need that comes your way just because you've been intentional about letting your light shine and letting men see your good works and glorify God and all on and on and on. Don't say yes to everything just because you've purposed in your heart to love God and to love your neighbor. Recognize what is the bridegroom speaking to you? What are you to say yes to? What are you to say no to? Just asking. This save you a lot of... Yeah, that is funny. There's a warrior right there who understands that principle. And understand this. Sometimes when you say no to things, people think you've backslidden. Oh, you can't. You've always... I realize I'm probably talking... I'm probably creating some voids of ministry in the church right now as we speak. You already thought of that, huh? There's a leader right there. She just thought of that. Pastor Dave comes back. He's on vacation, by the way. Dave and Susie. He comes back and three people want to step down from positions. What'd you preach on? Well... I gave him permission to be in step with Jesus. Obedience. Obedience instead of sacrificial. Church, we gotta be free. We gotta be free to be ourselves. We gotta be free to follow him. We got to be free to recognize that he wants to draw near to us. For a reason. To convince us of his love, yes. But that we would grow in our love for him. Remember, you were created for His pleasure. Whether we're talking about God the Son, God the Father, or God the Holy Spirit. The airlines have a really firm grasp on a kingdom principle. When you get the speech at the beginning of a flight, they tell you when the oxygen masks drop down to take care of yourself first before the person in need to your left or to your right. That is a kingdom principle. The outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. We need to day by day get our lamp lit. And we need to day by day stay lit. So that we've got something of some significance to give away to our spouse, to our family, to our kids, to our neighbors, to our co-workers. See, that's obedience, not sacrifice. There is the desire of God. Could we get a keyboardist to come up? There is the desire of God for you and I to let Him draw near to us. You remember that we talked about well-rounded intimacy. We need to know that when I come out of the secret place, He comes with me. And so that my commander in chief is right with me. Jesus said it this way, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I hear the Father saying. And the way in which that written is present tense. It doesn't mean I only say what I heard my dad say once. No. No, I only say what I hear right now in the moment my Father saying. I only do not once what I saw my dad do once. No. I only do what I see right now in this present situation my Father doing. The bride and the bridegroom minister side by side. And He's there with her. And so the intimacy that is built in the secret place comes out of the secret place with us. He is as close, if we'll give permission for our theology to allow it, He can be as close to us while I'm doing menial daily tasks as He is in the secret place. I may need to dial it in a little bit and get out of my heart and into my head enough to do the task that I'm doing. But we need to know that He's with us. That's that well-rounded intimacy that allows me and allows my theology to know that He's with me. I don't know how many of you ever have the experience in the secret place where it's like, oh, just 5 more minutes, but the clock says you got to go. Just take them with you. If you got to drive, sober up a little bit. But He goes with you. If you just I'll never leave you nor forsake you, he says. Just consider right now the atmosphere in the room. And just drink. Just our higher call class for February and March is going to be on hosting presence with Bill Johnson. It's a DVD series. Along with that, I'm going to be doing some teaching on the various ways that you and I can get lit in the secret place. The Hosting the Presence DVD series is more about how do we carry His presence out of the secret place and into our everyday lives. Along with that, I want to talk about, okay, but how do I capture that presence? How do I get a hold of or let it get a hold of me? So we're going to talk about things like the lost art of meditation and honest to God prayer and fasting for the fun of it. Yeah, you heard me right. And studying with a buddy. And the secret of simplicity. Don't get me started. There are so many analogies in Scripture. And please understand, even the analogy of the bride and the bridegroom is just a natural picture to capture a spiritual reality that's invisible, but it is real. One of the other analogies that Scripture uses often is, if anyone thirsts, Jesus said, let him come and drink. I won't tell anybody. Just drink of the atmosphere in the room. Let the bridegroom love you. Let him draw near. Forget about the person to your left or your right. If it's hard for you to be in a room of people like this and connect with God, it's very possible that one of the ways that you connect with Him is solitude, and that's okay. I feel your pain. We just stand against every argument, whether in the mind or in the heart. That God cannot draw near to us. I confront every lie in Jesus' name. Bridegroom Jesus, come. From the front to the back, from the left to the right. Draw near. Just because you can. We invite you. Just say that. I invite you. Say it again. I invite you. I encourage you when you get, in your secret place, wherever that is, always extend an invitation to Him. Come, Lord. More. Just more of you. please understand that one of the languages in the secret place is silence. Never let silence bother you. Some of you try to connect with God in the secret place with music, and you could do yourself a real favor. Not all of you, but some of you would do yourself a favor to turn it off. Try it. We are just taking time to practice what we preach. I hear the Lord saying that some of you have tried for years to connect with God through the Word and have never had breakthrough. Put the Bible down. Just meet with Him. Meet with the author. And He'll bring it to life when it's time. Lord, we thank You for Your desire to meet with us. We thank You for Your love for us, and we extend an invitation to You in the days and weeks to come to visit us in Your own unique way and in places of our choosing and places of Your choosing. We are thankful You are so serious about us. We thank You for the privilege You give us to minister alongside You. We thank You that Your name is our name, Your glory is our glory, Your authority is our authority, and Your power is our power. And we will be careful to give all glory back to you. As we go from this place, Lord, may we be reminded you're coming with us. You've promised that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And that isn't just a hope-so declaration. That is day-to-day reality.